that he brings upon us spiritually in our life, that we're dead in sins and trespasses. There's decay in our spirit. There's decay in our life. And we are all going the way of man. We go the wrong direction. But the Lord saw the need that he had, and he perceived his disease was not as bad as his inner need of knowing the Lord. And so he just simply told him, be of good cheer, to have joy in his heart. Glad tidings came to him that was announced when Jesus was born. And he said, thy sins be forgiven. Now this took those that were helping this man or carrying this man's bed. This sort of took them by shock and surprise. And they began to, in their mind, begin to think, who can do this? Who can forgive sins? And I always like it in the scripture when it says Jesus perceived their thoughts. We can't think anything that the Lord doesn't know. We don't have to outwardly express things that God would see it, but God knows the heart and God knows the need that every individual has. And the Bible says here, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Why are you thinking those thoughts in your heart? And so he just simply asked him a question. Is it easier to forgive sins or to tell this man to arise and walk? And the Lord spoke to this man. He said, arise, take up thy bed and walk. Arise and walk. And he said he did that to show the power of the Son of Man in the eyes of those that were doubting him, those that were rejecting his word of forgiveness. And so they saw the miracle of this man walking, but he experienced the miracle of forgiveness of sins in his life. And he probably got more than he thought he was going to get. He got something far greater than the ability to arise and to walk. He had the blessing of sins being forgiven. And there's nothing any greater in the life of an individual person than to know that our sins are gone. That song in our songbook, we are happy because our sins are gone. I'm glad tonight one day the Lord didn't just didn't have to heal me physically, but he had to take care of my inner need. He had to take care of that man that had been born, that spirit of man that was rebellious against God. And he could forgive my sin and your sin and the sins of the whole world if people would just come to him. And so we have the glad tidings, or the be of good cheer, when it comes to forgiveness. Thank the Lord that we have been forgiven. We have the Lord telling us, and the Lord expressing to us throughout the scripture, that we're certainly not perfect in our natural state. The flesh is still rebellious against the spirit, and there's that war that goes on. But thank God tonight that our soul has been saved, our life has been changed, and we have an eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, the gospel of forgiveness was given to this man, and of course to all of us as believers. Now turn over to the book of Mark, chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6. This is, we'll be reading in verse number 45. This is right after the feeding of the 5,000. And that was a full day's job. That was a full day's work. Sometimes we say it real fast and don't think about it. 5,000 people, 5,000 men, as it tells, possible over 10,000 people there. And to feed them in a miraculous way, it took a full day and even more. And when the day was over, when the day was done, the Lord was tired. The disciples were tired. And in verse number 45, straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before Bethsaida while he sent them sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh to them walking on the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, and here's the words, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Here's the second occurrence of this phrase, be of good cheer, and this is in the presence of the Lord. We don't have to say too much here because it's pretty well understood as they were, Jesus was sending the people away. They had just gone through the hours of the day supplying food to that multitude of people. Jesus tells his disciples to go to the other side of the lake or the sea, and he went to a mountain to pray. You'll find the Lord many times after great miracles, he would get away from everybody, and he would get away for either rest or a time to pray to his Father and to talk to God. And so they were in the midst of the sea, and the Lord could see them. Sometimes we overlook that little phrase, when he saw them toiling and rowing and the wind contrary. Now, there wasn't any light on that ship. There wasn't any guiding light for them. They were in the midst of the sea, but yet the Lord saw them. He knew the trouble that they were in, and so he makes his way to them. And I think it's interesting here that he could have passed them. He could have gone right on by them, but yet all of them in the ship saw him, and they were fearful. They were going to die. They were fearful of what was taking place, and when they saw him, they were troubled. I believe I'd be troubled too if I saw some walking on the water. No wonder they thought it was a spirit. No wonder they thought it was something out of the ordinary, because men can't walk on the water. No one except the Lord, or those whom the Lord says to come to him. And so when they saw him, they were troubled, and the immediate response of the Lord to their troubled heart. And I don't know if they were crying in fear, the scripture doesn't say, but certainly they were fearful, because they were troubled, and I believe they were afraid, because he tells them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And so in the presence of the Lord, we can face the situations of life, and we don't have to have a fear that would demolish us or destroy us. We can rely upon him. We can depend upon him. We can cast all of our care upon him, because he tells us to, and he cares for us. But our Lord constrained these disciples. He told them to get in the ship. That was no shock to the Lord that there was a storm that arose. It wasn't any shock to the Lord that they're in trouble. And so he knows where they are. He sees the wind. He knows the the struggle that they're in. And he had sent away the multitude. He'd gone to the mountain. Now he knows what's taking place, and he just walks on the sea to those disciples, and he tells them, the message of be of good cheer. It's a wonderful message to get from the Lord, that everything is okay. It's a wonderful message to get the message. It's a wonderful feeling to have the message come from God, that no matter what takes place, no matter what happens, still everything's going to be all right. And we can have peace in our heart knowing that the Lord delivers us, that He's able to take care of us. He's able to deliver us out of the midst of a storm. He's able to deliver us out of the midst of struggles and troubles. And He can tell us with authority and authoritative words, be of good cheer. Be not afraid. Fear is that which comes after us so many times. And fear grips our heart. And sometimes it's fear that doesn't need to be there. The devil will make that fear come up just to torment us and just to trouble us. But if we remember the words of the Lord, fear not. And time and time again, those words are given to different ones. So the Lord, He gives good cheer to those that are in need of forgiveness. He gives good cheer in need of those that to those that have the need of His presence with them, that He can supply every need. And Paul tells us that God can supply every need according to His riches. It's not our riches. It's not what we have. And I'm glad it's not according to what I have, but it's according to what He has. He can bless us, and we can have the riches of the Lord. So He gives us glad tidings or good cheer. He gives us the words, fear not. When He is in our presence and we are in His presence, then the devil has no liberty at all over us. Fear can be removed. Fear can be taken away, and struggles can be made right, and rough waters can be made smooth. Mountains can be brought down, and valleys can be filled at His presence. We can have rejoicing. And so our Lord, as He told those disciples to go to the other side, He said, I'm going up to the mountain to pray. And the next time they see Him, He gives them the words, be of good cheer and to fear not. So that's the second occasion that it is given to us. The third occasion is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 16 and verse number 33. John 16:33, the Bible says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Thank God tonight the Lord is the overcomer. And we are also called overcomers. But it's only because He has already overcome all the things that would come our way. In the world you shall have tribulation. It's a well-known fact that troubles come to everyone. It's a well-known fact that we go through tribulation, we go through trials. But the Lord says, be of good cheer. I have overcome those things. I have overcome the world. Now, this world system that we live in is very rebellious against God. It is anti-Christ. It is a secular world that doesn't want God in it at all. I read something just a little while ago that a school, I believe it's in Gibson County up in Indiana. It was in Gibson County. After a ball game, the teams would get together and have a word of prayer. And now they've sent out a memo to all the coaches and all the teachers and all the staff that they cannot participate in that, even though it is student-led. The reason being is because the world hates our God. This system, this society that we live in has never been and is now raising its head very strongly against the things of the Lord. I read an article today also that something about the elections and how important evangelical Christians have been. But the article stated that after this last election, the evangelical Christians are no longer a force. And the problem is, they may be right, because our numbers are dwindling, our crowd is getting smaller, and the world is raising its head. And so we ought not to be shocked when we see tribulation. Now, we're not going to see any tribulation as far as what they will see. We're not going to have any problem in comparison to what the world is going to have when Jesus comes again, when the real tribulation starts. But in this world, and when it says world, it means in this system of our society and worldwide, we're going to have tribulation. And tribulation brings about heartache. Tribulation brings about sorrow. Tribulation brings about a brokenness. And that's why the Lord said, be of good cheer. Now, the world can put it on you, but he said, that's okay. I've already overcome the world. I've already handed them their demise and their struggle. All those folks that don't want people to bow their knee or bow their head to pray, one day they'll bow before God. Those that send out memorandums that people can't do that, then one day they're going to do that, because every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And either do it here or you do it there. If you do it here, it makes heaven our home. If you do it there, it's a little bit late then. And so, but the world in which we live is very antagonistic toward Christianity. In general, it's antagonistic against religion that has anything to do with the Bible. But when it comes down to folks that are fundamentally true, and we believe the Scriptures verbatim, and we believe they are true, the world is really against us. They are really actively fighting against what we believe and where we stand. And we can go through that because the Lord said you're going to have it. But just remember, I've overcome it. You're going to have the tribulation. The world's going to give you the tribulation and the sickness and the sorrows. But he says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That puts a exclamation point at the end of it. Everything's going to be okay. He's going to supply every need. So in forgiveness, he gives us glad tidings, or good message, good cheer, glad tidings from the Lord. In his presence, he is always there for us. And we're going to have victory over tribulation. We're going to have victory over these things that come, because he is the conqueror. He is the one that is the master of the forces that swirl around us. The wind and the sea, they obey him. They did it as he spoke to them. Here in our passage tonight, in this passage, he didn't say a word, but it says immediately when he told them, good cheer is I, be not afraid. And he went up into them into the ship, and the wind ceased. He didn't say a word. He didn't say, peace be still. In this passage of Scripture, Mark says he gets in the ship, he gets in the boat, and the sea becomes calm. And so at his presence, we can have victory. Now in the book of Acts, chapter number 23, Acts chapter number 23, if I can finally get there, and verse number 11. This is the account where the Lord comes to Paul. In verse number 11 says, And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Now, Paul's a prisoner. Paul's in what we would call jail. And so the Lord comes to him and he just simply says, be of good cheer. What does that mean? Paul's going to be okay. Everything's going to be well. And he said, you have testified of me in Jerusalem. And the Apostle Paul, of course, he went throughout the known world of what we know of as Turkey and parts of Europe and maybe even as far as Spain in some of his traveling and some of his ministry. And everywhere he went, he preached the Lord Jesus Christ. There in Athens on Mars Hill, he preached a message, and it was totally about the Lord Jesus Christ as that unknown God that they had a statue and had an insignia over it to the unknown God. And as the Lord was unknown to them, he preached to them the Lord Jesus Christ. And so everywhere he went, he was preaching. Well, now he has stood before the Sanhedrin, and they have convicted him, and he's going to be sent to Caesar, as he had so chosen. And so that night, after the affairs of the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin in the earlier part of the chapter, the Lord comes to him and says, "Be of good cheer. Just know that as you have preached in Jerusalem, you're going to preach in Rome." And so Paul had a mandate from God that he was going to make his way. Somehow he was going to go to Rome. Somehow he was going to be there and be able to preach to those Roman citizens. And here we find that God tells him he's going to have he has an opportunity. Paul had been jeered by the crowd there in Jerusalem, and they said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it's not fit that he should live." They didn't want Paul to even live. They hated his message, just like the message we preach today is very much many times hated. And so now he is he's going to Rome because the Lord told him he was. And this is before he's ever been convicted, before he goes and before Felix and Festus and Agrippa, and he appeals to Caesar. The Lord told Paul that he said, "You're going to have an opportunity to preach in a place you've never preached before, and you're going to Rome." And of course, we know that is Italy. And he says, "Even though this crowd is against you, be of good cheer. You got an opportunity." How many opportunities the Lord gives us? Sometimes they're not maybe what we think they would be, and sometimes they're a little more difficult than we wish they were. But we have opportunities day in and day out to be a good witness for the Lord. And sometimes we don't do that because of fear. Sometimes we do that because of the look of people or what they might say or what they might think. But the Lord says, "Be of good cheer. You have an opportunity. Have a job to do, a task to perform." And so he said, "You're going to Rome." Now, he went a little different than maybe he thought he was going to go. And on the way to Rome, had a storm that arose. And that's where we'll go now, to Acts chapter number 27. He has stood before Felix in chapter 24. And he has stood before Festus and Agrippa. He's been in jail there now for 2 years. And he appeals to Caesar. And he had the right to do that. Paul was a free person, and he was a Roman citizen, even though he was a Jew. By his birth, he was a free Roman, and he had every right to appeal to the highest authority that there was. And so he appeals to Caesar, and to go to Caesar, you had to go to Rome, and he was on his way, and of course we know the story of the long, I think it was 14 days that it didn't see the light of the sun. They had a terrible storm out in the midst of the Mediterranean. And chapter 27 gives us the details of that storm. But verse number 21. Now they've gone. They've been into it. The storm is called Euroclydon, and there in verse 14, the ship is just sort of let drive where it wants to go, and says in verse 20, "Neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. No small tempest lay upon us, and all hope that we should be saved was taken away. This was a desperate situation. They thought they were going to die. Verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. If you read back a few pages, you'll find that Paul tells them that they should not, they's in a fair haven, and they should have stayed there, but the mariners, the captain of the ship, thought they knew more than Paul, and so they said, we're going to Rome. And so Paul reminds them that that they should have listened to him. Verse 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. There's the words that Paul used. Be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but the ship. And there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and who I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Therefore, sirs, be of good cheer, I believe God. There's the last two instances in the Scripture that little phrase, be of good cheer, is used. It's used twice in this passage. And they are being beat, they are being torn, the waves are boisterous against them, and they have let everything go, they've cast everything over, and tried to lighten the boat, and they finally decided there's no hope. They'd come to a place where there was no hope. Thank God, with the Lord, there's always hope. And they came to a position in their mind that we're going to die. Well, Paul was gone a lot. He says, after a long abstinence. I believe Paul was praying. I believe Paul was seeking the face of the Lord in that abstinence. And he comes up there on the ship and he says, first of all, he said, you should have listened to me. But secondly, there's not going to be any loss of life because there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord. He says, whose I am, I belong to him. And there is no harm among you. And he said, this came to me saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must. You see, in the passage before, the Lord was telling Paul, be of good cheer, you're going to Rome. You must go to Rome. And now Paul is using the same words, realizing that God had already determined that he was going to stand there in Rome and preach the gospel. Just as he did to the people of Jerusalem and everywhere else he went, he was going to Rome, and there was nothing going to stop him, not even a storm that was totally destructive. Maybe this storm was sent by the devil to try to stop Paul. I believe the devil put storms in our lives to detour us and to make us maybe do things that we wouldn't normally do and think things we wouldn't normally think. But the Lord came to Paul and he said, you must go to Rome. And he said, so there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord. I belong to him. And he gave me those words. These is time and time again. He says, fear not. And he says, be of good cheer. You're not going to lose it all. You're not going to lose your life. You're going to lose everything in the boat, and it's going to be destroyed, but we're all going to be saved. We're all going to be safe. And so that was the be of good cheer, I guess we would call it, a faith. Paul believed God so much. Paul believed the message of the Lord so much that he stood before those ungodly mariners that didn't have any idea who the Lord was or who God was. But he stood before them and he says, we're going to be all right. Everybody's going to be saved alive. Nothing's going to be lost as far as life, but the ship is going to be gone. And if you read on down, the ship breaks up and tears apart and they find themselves on an island called Miletus. But they're all alive, just like God said they would be. So tonight we can find, even in struggles, even in problems, we can hear the voice of the Lord. We can hear the voice of the Word of God that tells us, thank God, one day He forgave us. That's good cheer. That's a good message of salvation. Not only that, He comes along and sits beside us, walks beside us. His presence is there. And when His presence is there, we don't have any fear. We can say and do as He has told us to do. And He is there to give us victory, because He's overcome everything that comes our way. He's already gone that path. He gives us opportunity to tell the message, and we don't have to have fear. And then He gives us the good tidings, to fear not, be of good cheer, and just have faith to express that and to believe what the Lord has for us. So when the angels announced at the birth of the Lord, glad tidings, good news, that was the message of the Lord all through His life. And it's the message of the Lord to you and I tonight. Good tidings, good message, glad tidings, good cheer. Don't have to fear. Thank God tonight we can stand before the world and not have to be afraid, because He's already overcome the world. May God help us to experience that and live that and enjoy that. And so I pray be a blessing tonight, just to take a few words and study them where they are in the Scripture. I enjoy finding little phrases and tracing them, how many, where all they're given. And those are, be of good cheer over and over again. Well, let's bow for prayer.